Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Those are the familiar words of John the Baptist as recorded in the King James Version of the verse that opens the gospel reading which we just heard from John. These words, or something close to them, are familiar to us because we hear them in our liturgy regularly, not just when this passage from John's gospel is proclaimed, but week after week. In the Gloria, at the beginning of our worship, we sing together, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. After the fraction, when the consecrated bread, the body of Christ, is broken, we often sing the Agnus Dei, where we say three times, O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world. In today's gospel lesson, John the Baptist's words foreshadow the critical truth that Jesus, as the Son of God, comes to wield his power in a very surprising way. For Jesus, the Son of God, comes as a lamb, as one who offers his life as a sacrifice, who refuses to conquer the world through force, but rather transforms the world, conquering sin not by violently overthrowing it, but rather by wiping away the wages of sin through the loving sacrifice of his life, and by calling into existence a people who seek to follow him in that example. That's us. Two disciples, Andrew and another, hear this testimony from John that this man walking before them is the Lamb of God, and they are moved to follow. And after spending the day with Jesus, Andrew is inspired to find his brother Simon, who would become Cephas or Peter, to bring him to follow Jesus. And those brothers, Peter and Andrew, would share this good news that this Lamb of God had come into the world to take away the sins of the world with many more who would then share it with many more, and so on to this day. Each one of us here today comes from a long line of followers, individuals and communities of believers who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, invited others to come and see this Jesus, this Lamb of God. The collect appointed for today helps us understand what it means for us as a people to follow Andrew and Peter and all of the saints throughout the ages in their following of the Lamb of God, in their willingness to model their lives after one who was willing to lay down his life as a sacrifice so that others might know what God's love looks like, so that the world might be reconciled to God. Today's collect refers to the light of the world that shines for all the world to see, echoing both the passage from Isaiah that we heard earlier, as well as those familiar opening verses to the first chapter of John. In Isaiah, God refers to the one he will give as a light to the nations, that his salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And in the opening verses of John's gospel, which we heard proclaimed here on Christmas Day and then on the Sunday after Christmas, We are told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Jesus, as the Savior, the Lamb of God, the light of the world, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome that light. As we prayed in today's collect, we are called to be people who, illumined by God's Word and sacraments, shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that He may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Just as the brightness of the moon reflects the radiance of the sun, we are to reflect the glory of God by basking in the light of the world. As we hear God's Word and participate in God's sacraments through worship, we are illumined such that God's light is reflected throughout the world. We become the light that shines in the darkness, light that darkness cannot overcome. Peter and Andrew would spend the rest of their lives illumined by the light of the world, shining with the radiance of Christ's glory so that others might know, worship, and follow the same Lamb who called them to follow Him. And following Jesus, Peter and Andrew were likewise willing to forsake their lives so that the world might know the Lamb who sacrificed His life. Like Jesus, both Peter and Andrew would die by crucifixion. According to tradition, Peter being crucified on an inverted cross in Rome, Andrew being crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece. Both through their lives and through their deaths, both were illumined by the light of the world and reflected the glory of the Lamb. Throughout our history as a people, we have had the examples of many saints who have, by word and deed, and sometimes by death, reflected that glory. As many of you know, this past week, we passed the 91st birthday of another saint who followed in that great tradition, who refused to meet the violence of the world with more violence, but instead, illumined by God's Word and sacraments, shone forth with the power of the Lamb's nonviolent, self-sacrificing love. Like Peter, Andrew, Martin Luther King Jr. also followed Jesus to His death. Though His crucifixion was by means tragically more common in our world, King's sacrificial death hastened by bullets propelled by hate and fear. Tomorrow, this nation will remember King's life and witness the contributions that he made to our common life as he dedicated his life and ultimately sacrificed it to overcoming evils that plague our society: racism, war, poverty, and ignorance. As Christians, we remember him not merely as a positive force for progress within our wider culture, but also as another saint, like Peter and Andrew. Another witness in the long tradition of those who have answered the invitation to follow the Lamb. In reflecting on the life of nonviolence to which he was called as a follower of Jesus, King wrote, "Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." The light to which Dr. King testified is the very same light of the world, the light that shines forth from the Lamb of God, the light that darkness cannot overcome. We gather here today so that we might be soaked in that light, that we might be illumined by it, that we might shine forth with its radiance, that the Lamb of God might be known to the world through us and through our lives.